It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Emily Campagno.
I'm Guy Benson.
I'm Shannon Bream, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, May 9th, 2023. I'm John Saucier. A group of protesters were arrested in New York City after blocking subway service, all having to do with an incident on the subway. A Marine vet who is seen on video putting a homeless man in a chokehold, that man later died. Now some activists are calling for the veteran to be charged in the death. It's an ugly scene, but if you've ever taken the subway in New York before, you already know how scary it can be sometimes.
Got a lot of Manhattanites deal with this kind of thing on the subway all the time. Are getting tired of it, they want to see action, and they long for a guy like Penny to take action on the subway if they're sitting in that car.
This is the Fox News Rundown, Evening Edition.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
24-year-old Marine Daniel Penny is lawyered up and waiting to see if he might face some charges related to the death of Jordan Neely. The 30-year-old homeless man is well-known to police with a long arrest history and was reportedly acting in a threatening way in a subway car when Penny confronted him and put him in a chokehold. That part was caught on video. Now it's up to prosecutors to decide if Penny was simply protecting himself and fellow riders or went too far. There is a racial element to this as well, as the choker was white and the homeless man who was killed was black, something protesters have pointed out.
You know, the issue here is going to be how much of a threat Mr. Neely actually presented, and that's going to be a very fact-based question.
Our guest today is Paul Morrow, an attorney and retired NYPD inspector.
Pulling back a little bit and taking a sort of macro view, you're entirely right. As I said on the air the other day, the New York City subway system has begun to feel like a rolling psychiatric ward, and that's really not hyperbole. Every time you take the subway, you deal with somebody who is having some sort of a mental crisis. And everybody sits there and stares at their smartphone and hopes that that person passes them by, and this is not the day for them to lose the lottery. And that is the question, is at what point are you going to react? And in this case, it feels almost inevitable that eventually we're going to get a case like this where somebody seemed to present such a threat that somebody had to take an action. And legally, it comes down to just pretty much what you said. You know, you can dispense with a lot of the legal jargon. It comes down to, was the reaction to Mr. Neely by Mr. Penny and some of the others in the car who helped Penny, was it commensurate with the threat that Neely presented? And that's going to be a fact-based question.
And I really think, Paul, a big factor in this case is going to be the video. In that video, you see a number of people trying to restrain Neely, who is the homeless man who died here. But you also see the former Marine, Daniel Penny, who's got him in kind of like a UFC chokehold. He's got both legs around him, securing the body, and then he's got his arm around his neck. And to me, it looks like he is applying pressure. I mean, I'm just watching it. And so my question to you is, when that trial does come out, how big of a factor is this video going to play in all this?
Well, the video is huge because it's the most concrete evidence we have. But remember, video can be tremendously misleading. Anybody who's ever investigated a case knows that you can go by the video and then you get a different video from a different angle, and all of a sudden, all of your preconceptions go out the window regarding the first video. That could happen here. We don't know that that's the only video that's out there. Last I heard, all of the witnesses were not fully identified or contacted, and there may in fact be other video that comes to light that maybe contradicts some of what we're supposing here. But that said, I don't think anybody denies that Mr. Penny, the Marine, had his arm around the neck of Neely. The question becomes how long he held his arm there, and was it commensurate with the risk that Neely posed? And that is, again, going to be a fact-based question that they're going to have to go to witnesses. They're going to have to say, well, what was Neely doing before Mr. Penny put him in that chokehold? Should Mr. Penny have continued to hang on to him that long? According to the reporting and the witnesses that have come out, Neely started yelling, took his coat off, threw it on the ground, and said, I'm done, I don't care if I go to jail. Some of the reporting says he said things like, I don't care if I die. It sounded like he was really ready to go all out. And, you know, when you take your jacket off like that, very clearly you're indicating that you're going to do battle.
So, yeah, getting ready to fight.
Exactly. You're ready to fight. So this is a little bit more than a guy who gets on the subway, is muttering or even yelling, but is walking on his way, going from car to car, maybe panhandling. He doesn't seem to have been asking for anything here, by the way. Another witness says that he just was yelling, but it's not like he had his hand out, and if you gave him a dollar, he'd go away. He just seemed to have decided he'd had enough of everything. And that argues that you got somebody who's all in and about to do something that you really don't want to have happen, and that's when apparently Mr. Penny jumped him. And then, you know, another thing we should recognize is that there were other people involved here. There were a few other people who were helping Penny. Penny is the prime actor, but there were other people helping him. And so if we do get an indictment, and I don't think that's quite a given. I think it's close to a given. I think we probably will get an indictment, if I had to guess, or at least it'll get presented to the grand jury. What we have to remember is that it shouldn't just be Penny. What about the other people who were involved? Are they going to be charged as co-defendants? So it's not as cut and dried as Penny versus Neely, even though that's what the media is making it, because it plays to the racial narrative.
Yeah, very good point there, Paul. We're speaking with Paul Morrow. He's an attorney and a retired NYPD inspector. I want to talk about some of the pressure this now puts on the district attorney in Manhattan, a guy whose name we've talked about quite a bit, Alvin Bragg. Of course, he had that grand jury indictment of former President Donald Trump on criminal charges. But there also was a high-profile case in New York City recently that's come back to light via congressional testimony of a guy who worked at a bodega who was attacked by someone who came in and was behind the counter, and the bodega guy grabbed a knife and stabbed him. That attacker ultimately died, but next thing you know, the guy who's working the bodega, which is what we call a small store here in New York, wound up in jail, and he was facing charges. A lot of protests against that, and all of a sudden, those charges went away. But in this instance, Paul, it seems like protesters are calling for Mr. Penny to be charged in the death of his homeless man on the subway. If you're Alvin Bragg here, how do you navigate all of this?
So the grand jury is his cover, okay? He can just say, look, I had my senior investigators on it. They gathered all the facts. We presented it to a grand jury. The grand jury chose to indict. The system worked. And so on we go. And that's how he can kind of cover himself and almost takes the decision off of his plate. The truth of the matter is, however, a prosecutor can manipulate a grand jury to a large extent. And you can signal to the grand jury where you're going with this, what you want to have happen. There are ways to present to the grand jury that you make it very clear to them that you don't think they should indict. And that gives the grand jury the sort of hangout pass to say, oh, I see. We don't have to indict here. He's presenting contrary evidence, exculpatory evidence. That's our safe harbor. And, you know, you need 12 out of a minimum of 16 people. You need at least 16 for a quorum to have the full grand jury impaneled. And you got to get 12 people to agree. Well, you know, if you can peel a few of them off, and I would argue in this case, your targets, if you're the defense, are going to be women. And hopefully if you've got men, they have daughters, because well, while it may be politically incorrect to say, I ride the subway all the time, I'm just going to tell you that women, and you know, I know this from police experience, women are often, more often than not, they are generally the targets in the subway for crime, either by career criminals or by what we call EDPs, emotionally disturbed persons. So that is the sort of dynamic here. And realistically, if Bragg wants an indictment, he'll put it into the grand jury and he'll get his indictment. He has a blind spot. It's undeniable. Even his greatest supporters, as in the New York Times, are willing to cop to the fact that he doesn't really read the room very well. He put out that day one memo, got blasted for it, and then later said he was surprised by the reaction. He's had a few instances like that. He's apparently surprised by the reaction to his Trump indictment, where even many on the left are saying this is thin gruel. So it remains to be seen if he understands that a lot of Manhattanites deal with this kind of thing on the subway all the time, are getting tired of it, they want to see action, and they long for a guy like Penny to take action on the subway if they're sitting in that car. So if you read some of the commentary online, even, again, in the Times and some other, let's say, progressive forums, there's a lot more support for what Penny did than you would expect. And one of the things he might be waiting for before he indicts, by the way, I should mention, is a toxicology report, because there could be underlying factors that caused Mr. Neely's death, in which case it's going to be very hard to charge Penny. And that's another safe harbor for Bragg. So we're going to see what the facts are, what witnesses come forward, the results of the toxicology, and then we'll see if he puts it into the grand jury, and if he does, which way it goes.
Seems like anything goes on the New York City subway, but in the case of one man who's claiming self-defense after accidentally killing a homeless person, now we're waiting to find out if he'll be charged. This case has put a charge into protesters who claim they want justice for the man who was killed and that race played a factor. Today, we brought in a lawyer, and our guest, Paul Morrow, besides being an attorney, is also a retired NYPD inspector. He's seen firsthand the danger and discomfort subway riders in New York have to put up with every day. Now we're waiting to see if prosecutors are going to make a move, with pressure being brought by protesters. We'll continue this conversation next. How much of this homeless man, Mr. Neely, how much of his criminal history will play a factor in all this? This guy's got 42 arrests on charges from things like penny larceny all the way to theft. He also was on what outreach workers refer to as their top 50 list. This is a roster maintained by New York City of the homeless people living on the street who officials consider most urgently in need of assistance and treatment. This is a person who has been in and out of the system for many years now and has, quite bluntly, been a problem on the streets of New York. How much do you think that is going to play a factor into all this?
Well, you know, that I think will primarily get to play if it gets to trial. As I said, as the prosecutor, you have almost complete power over the grand jury in terms of what you present. You can you can allow and likely would allow the defendant in this case, which would be Mr. Penny, and as I said, potentially others, to testify in the grand jury. But you can also, because the limited power that the defense has in a grand jury, you can kind of undercut them pretty easily and lead the grand jury where you want them to go. So that is entirely possible. Where the issues that you're raising likely would come to fore is at a full trial, if it gets that far. There's no plea deal. Mr. Penny says, I did nothing wrong. This guy was going to hurt people on the subway. I took the action I did. He shouldn't have died. It was because he was in a weakened state, or he was on K2, which is reportedly the drug that he was using. Neely was in a compromised physical condition, and so I am not responsible for his death. And then you would get all the stuff coming out about what kind of a threat that Neely presented. Now, everybody in that car didn't know that he had the 42 priors, that he had an open felony assault warrant on him, that he had previously socked a woman in the subway not that long ago and broken her nose and orbital bone. They won't know that, but nonetheless, it's very easy to articulate that he scanned as a person who likely had that kind of a background, who had seen the inside of plenty of jail cells, and that he scared them. And you'll characterize him that way to the jury. The prosecution will try to keep some of that out as irrelevant, but my suspicion is that a lot of it will get in as a sort of atmospheric to this, because people on the subway these days see this kind of thing all the time, and it is scary.
Paul Morrow is an attorney and retired NYPD inspector. Paul, thank you for paying attention to the details of this case, and thank you for being with us here on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition podcast. Good stuff.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter, and I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.